So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Welcome to our program this dreary afternoon. And we had some shocking news this weekend. The shocking part is not that SNAP funding is set to expire. Most people have heard that. But as the coverage expanded on SNAP funding, I think quite a number of people were shocked to discover that that is going to hit 40 million people. 40 million people that are on SNAP funding. Now, if you are not aware, the population of our nation is 340 million people. So that is 1/8 of the American population that is on SNAP funding. That's a shocking amount. It's over 12%. And there's been quite a response to that publicly from a number of people, including Matt Walsh, everybody's favorite governor down in Florida. And I think everybody universally is shocked by the number, but even more surprising are some of the statistics that came out about how many people are on this funding and specifically some of the details about them. So who uses welfare, specifically SNAP funding, in the United States? Now, according to the Center for Immigration Studies, they've released this data. This is the part that shocked people, and I wonder if it's going to shock any of you. So who uses welfare in this country? And they broke this down based on head of household, whether you are U.S.-born or native, if you want to call population, legal immigrant or illegal immigrant. So these households are run by either U.S.-born person, legal immigrant, or illegal immigrant. And they broke this out for what percentage of those people use welfare in the United States. Now, I want you for a second in your head. I want you to guess what the numbers are. Who uses more? Native-born populations or U.S. citizens, legal immigrants or illegal immigrants? The numbers? Any welfare, that category. 39% of U.S.-born people, heads of households, use welfare. 52% of legal immigrants' households are on welfare. Over half of legal immigrants in this country are on some form of welfare. Illegal immigrants, 59%. The largest category of people on welfare are illegal immigrant households. Now, that is the number that I think left everyone completely staggered because, you know, this whole shutdown, it all comes down to whether or not we're going to continue giving all these perks, specifically healthcare, to illegal immigrants. And the Democrats say, oh, no, that's not happening. They're not getting any benefits, and that's terrible and racist to even talk about. Well, no, here is the data. And what does this all include? It includes food assistance, SNAP benefits, Medicaid, cash assistance, and housing. And illegal immigrants take the vast majority of the food and the largest percentage of the Medicaid. I mean, this is shocking because, I mean, under federal law prohibits allowing someone to immigrate here if they are a public charge. Did you know that? So you're not even supposed to come here as a legal immigrant if you're going to be a public charge, if you're going to drain the system. You should come here to be productive, right? That makes sense. Who knew we have some laws in this country that are common sense? And yet, the majority of legal immigrant households are using taxpayer-financed welfare benefits. And illegal alien households are even worse. This is the immigration equivalent of ballistic podiatry. Now, I just read you a tweet from, as I mentioned, everybody's favorite governor down in Florida, Governor DeSantis. That's his tweet about this, reminding us that federal law actually prohibits this. And yes, this is the reality. And even more shocking, as you dig into the details, let's just focus on SNAP benefits. They released a study of the percentage of U.S. households that receive SNAP benefits, and this is based on ethnicity. So what different types of ethnicities use what amount of SNAP benefits? Now, once again, I wonder in your mind where what you would guess would be the percentages that you would run into. I doubt you would guess this. The top group that uses SNAP benefits, percentage-wise, based on ethnicity, Afghanis. 45% of Afghani households in the United States are using SNAP benefits. 42% of Somalis. 34.8% of Iraqis. 34% Dominican. 28% Caribbean. 27% Native American. 27% Puerto Rican, 25% Cuban, 24% Black, 24% Arab, and on it goes down. Now, of the list that is included, other notables. Mexican, 17.9%, Chinese, 9.6%, white households, 8.6%, Italian, 7.6%, Indian, 4.4%. Interesting statistics. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. 45% of Afghanis and 42% of Somalis are using food stamps. That's insane. We're literally, as Governor DeSantis rightfully put it, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. We are bringing all these immigrants from all across the world to come here. Our federal law already says that we're not supposed to bring them here if they're going to be a drain. And yet we are having the working class in America fund all these benefits for people who are coming here legally and, by a larger share, illegally. I mean, this is truly scandalous. Matt Walsh had a quote that's gotten a lot of attention on X. EBT should just be abolished outright. 95% of the people on the program could easily feed themselves. They just don't feel like making the effort. The other 5% can rely on charities, soup kitchens, food drives, churches, etc. The program is a disaster. Get rid of it. As you can imagine, that really burned up X and a lot of different people expressing opinions on that. But you know, regardless of whether you specifically agree with Mr. Walsh's conclusion, I think everybody, if you are objectively looking at this, can recognize we have a serious problem. The fact that America, of course it's the place everybody wants to come. I mean, think about it. We wonder why so many people have tried to flood here. It's not just the land of opportunity in that if you work hard, you can earn your way and make a better life for your kids. No, forget that. It's the land of plenty because you walk in the door and you can get all the benefits that even the U.S. citizens aren't getting. I mean, you could get your food, your housing, medical care. And as you dig into the numbers, some people have said, well, hold on a second. All the Democrats are saying that none of the illegals are actually qualifying for these things. Well, that's why they specifically focused on households. Because when you look at households, yeah, a lot of times it is only, quote unquote, U.S. citizens that qualify. But see, the households, and it's nuclear families, when the father and mother don't qualify, but they have children here through birthright citizenship, suddenly their children qualify for all the benefits. And that is where that large number comes from. That's how they're gaming the system. So, hey, by the way, why don't we end birthright citizenship? Anybody for that? I wonder. You should text in and let me know if you agree with that, because that might solve a lot of this problem. But we have a serious issue. It's time to get a hold on it. And next, we're going to hear from one of those immigrants, Zohan Mamdani, and the question of whether he's going to get deported. This guy running for mayor in New York. Have you seen this? He may get deported. You'll have to find out. Stay tuned. This is Adam Morgan on News Talk 98.9 WRD, the voice of the Carolinas, in for Bill Frady. We'll be right back.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back. And as right before the break, I told you, we're going to be hearing from Zohran Mamdani. No idea if I'm pronouncing that right, but he is running for mayor of New York, and he is a very vocal Muslim. He went quite viral this weekend talking about 9/11, and his take on 9/11, as he got emotional, was not all the victims and the mass casualties of that horrific terrorist attack. Where he went to was his aunt, that she couldn't travel on the New York subways and wear her hijab anymore because she just felt so ostracized and targeted, which is just a terrible. Right? Isn't that where your mind and your gut goes to? Like, how awful in that terrorist attack, as you reflect on it, that, you know, some women felt bad wearing their hijabs in the subway. Well, if you didn't feel that way and you actually weren't sad about that because you questioned whether it was authentic, well, guess what? You were right. Your gut was right. It's a completely fake story. Zohran Mamdani's aunt did not live in New York City, nor did she travel on the New York subway systems during 2001. She was living in Tasmania, which is on the complete other side of the world, below Australia, I believe. Could be wrong. So completely fake story from a completely fake person who is running as this blatant communist who's promising free everything. I mean, he wants to get, well, let's just listen to see if we can hear in his own words. This is him at a rally just the other night. Actually, I believe it was last night. And if we can't play it, I'll just...
going to freeze the rent for more than 2 million rent-stabilized tenants. And use every resource at our disposal to build housing for everyone who needs it. We are going to eliminate the fare on every single bus line.
Oh, wow. 3 buses. Oh, man.
And make what are currently the slowest buses in the nation move around this city with ease.
Wow. This guy's, he's...
And we are going to create universal childcare at no cost to parents.
What? All right, he got my vote.
So New Yorkers can raise their family in the city they love.
Oh, man. Man. Free childcare.
New York, we're going to freeze the... Together, New York, we're going to make buses fast and
free.
Together, New York, we're going to deliver universal
child care. Oh, man. You know, I have a feeling. I have 3 adorable, wonderful children. If you ever see us walking around in public and you see 3 very well-behaved children, those are not mine. But I do have 3 adorable children, and they are 8, almost 8, 5 and 2. And I can't imagine how in the world you're going to just have somebody pay for their child care all day for free. Well, guess what? You're not. Somebody's paying for it. And he goes through this whole list of free stuff that he's going to bring to all of New York. And I don't know if you remember, he also made quite a splash in the news when he said they needed to tax white neighborhoods, rich white neighborhoods. I mean, what a racist. I mean, he blatantly says we need to tax white people. And yet this guy is leading in the polls. It's truly shocking. Actually, kind of terrifying for our nation. And he promises all this free stuff. There's no way he's going to pay for it. The free buses and free childcare is just hilarious. He also said that they need to get rid of the fare buses because that'll make it riding on buses safer, because that's the only reason there's crime, is because then people, they cost money and people are tempted to steal. So we just need to stop charging money and then there won't be crime. So can you imagine applying that to all other areas of crime? We just need to not have rules, not have money, not have, yeah, right? Communist utopia, remove anything that might make somebody want something else or desire something. We all have nothing, and then maybe we won't have crime. So this is the kind of lunacy that we've really brought to our shores. Now, his father, I'm going to play a clip of his father in the next segment. You're not going to believe. Actually, you are. You are fully going to believe where his roots come from. But you're not going to believe what this guy said. Absolute lunatic. But interesting big news that happened over the weekend. Representative Randy Fine, Republican, made news when he announced that he is pushing to start the denaturalization process of Zohran Mamdani so that he can be deported. This is a real story. And the reason Congressman Fine did this, he responded when it was posted publicly. He said, yes, I have absolutely pushed to start this denaturalization process. And the reason is because under federal law, if you lie about something on your application as you become a citizen, you can be disqualified from becoming a citizen. The law dictates that. It's pretty obvious. You can get denaturalized and deported if you've lied about something in your application. One of the things that is requested or asked in the citizenship application process is if you're a communist, which, by the way, once again, I the more you dig into this stuff, sometimes you just get beat down with how crazy our system is and the state of the country. But then you actually hear about a lot of these laws and you're like, oh, wow, that actually is, that makes a lot of sense. That's actually good stuff. The problem is for years, or at least say, let's say anytime a Democrat's in office, they just refuse to actually enforce these laws. So, but that completely aside, he was asked whether he was a communist, and in his response, he forgot to mention that he had joined the Democratic Socialists of America, which is a communist organization, which would have disqualified him from becoming a U.S. citizen. Or at least that's according to a different U.S. congressman, Representative Andy Ogles, a representative from Tennessee. That's his direct quote. It's a communist organization, would have disqualified him from becoming a U.S. citizen. So therefore, both of them are supporting denaturalizing him and deporting him back to his home country, which I believe is actually Uganda, I think. So, you know, it kind of the guy's all over the place. But quite a shocking thing to push. You know, I don't think any of us were expecting that. But this guy is going to destroy New York City. And once again, Governor DeSantis posted something online. He's been really hounding this guy, Mamdani, and people have been critical of that. Why do you care so much about what's going on in New York? And he posted this tweet saying, well, actually, what happens in New York massively affects Florida because everybody moves here from New York to get away from this craziness. They also move here, by the way, in South Carolina and in North Carolina. And you know, it's a little concerning. You hope that they are people who are fleeing and are conservatives or at least recognize the craziness they're running from and they don't actually come and vote those same policies here. But unfortunately, all too often, we find that many of them are not. And they don't understand that they are creating the very thing that is destroying their system. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here. I'd like to hear your opinions. Do you think we should actually go about this? I know some people were pushing back, conservatives saying, I don't know that really pushing to denaturalize and throw out political opponents is a great idea. Other people said, follow the law. This isn't targeting. It's if he lied on his application process, get him out. Maybe it'll save New York. And some people say, who cares about New York? Well, I just want to also push back on that. Like, New York actually is a huge driver in the American economy. It's where the New York Stock Exchange is. It's, I mean, all sorts of important things happen in New York. So while I'm glad I don't live there and I don't agree with any of the politics, I also don't hope it turns into, you know, Little Baghdad or whatever. We actually need to fight for our nation and even for our cities as much as possible. So let me know what you think. And when we get back, you're going to hear the shocking statements of Mamdani's father, who may have thought that America was actually at the root of the Nazis. So don't go anywhere. You're going to want to hear this. News Talk 98.9 WRD, Voice of the Carolinas. This is Adam Morgan in for Bill Frady. Don't go anywhere.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back. This is Adam Morgan in for Bill Frady. And you may recognize my voice. I served in the state legislature for 6 years, was the founding chair of the South Carolina Freedom Caucus, represented the area of Taylors and Greenville East Side, the hotbed of radical conservatism in the state of South Carolina, as it was termed many years ago. And I think it's very, very accurate. I was honored to serve in that role and have enjoyed coming on to WRD and filling in for Bill Frady. And I told you before the break that I was going to play for you something from Zohran Mamdani's father. Now, you may wonder, where does somebody like Mamdani get his insane communistic views or his deranged viewpoint on 9/11 that the most awful part that moved him to tears was not all the people that were murdered by terrorists, but the fact that his aunt you know, had to wear, was embarrassed to wear a hijab on the subway, which later came out to be not true. She didn't even live in New York City and didn't even wear a hijab. So a blatant liar. Where does he get this worldview? Where does he get all of his fundamental beliefs? Well, of course, they come from your parents, as most do. And this video surfaced this weekend of Mamdani's father, both of whom were brought here as American and became Americans. And this clip of him and what he thinks about America. This is him speaking. And he discusses Nazism, Hitler, and Abraham Lincoln and America's involvement. Let's just listen. What does Mamdani Sr. think about the country that he that accepted him and made him a citizen?
America is the genesis of what we call settler colonialism. And the American model was exported all around the world. Abraham Lincoln generalized the solution of reservations. They herded American Indians into separate territories. For the Nazis, this was the inspiration. Hitler realized two things.
Abraham Lincoln and his actions were the inspiration for Hitler and the Nazis. Let's keep listening to this insanity.
One, the genocide was doable. It is possible to do genocide. That's what Hitler realized. Second thing Hitler realized is that you don't have to have a common citizenship. You can differentiate between people. The Nuremberg laws were patterned after American laws.
The Nuremberg laws were patterned after American law. I mean, not only is this guy just a blatant liar, I mean, everything he's saying is just laughably stupid, unhistoric in every way, but he is ardent. He believes this. I mean, come on, America's the great Satan. America's the root of all evil. This is what Islam teaches. This is where they pick this stuff up in the Middle East, and then we bring them here and let them sit on platforms and discuss how America's actually the root of even Nazism and all genocide. Like, just wrap your mind around this. America is the place of genocide, not the Middle East, not the guys that jihaded all over the known world, murdering anybody that would question them, and still does today. I don't know if you've been seeing what's going on in Nigeria, where they're murdering thousands of Christians, a genocide at the hand of Boko Haram and other Muslim extremists, if you even want to call them extremists, or Muslim faithful.
Anyway, the U.S. put Indians in reservations. The U.S. invented the model.
The U.S. invented the model that Hitler used, that the Nazis used. That's where it all came from, folks. Who knew? It's shocking. This is the kind of junk that is being pushed in a certain segment of universities, and I would argue even in certain high school classrooms, from radical left-wing teachers. Now, just last week, a video went viral of a Greenville teacher. Her name's Jill. I believe she's from Fisher Middle. That came out and was quite a stir. And she went on this video with Daily Wire explaining why she had to be at the No Kings protest. And she explained that it was because her students don't want to pledge anymore. They don't want to stand for the pledge because of false promises from the founders and because of they're scared of having brown skin in Trump's America. She claims this, and it went massively viral. And you sit there. When I first heard that, I thought, I mean, do they actually think people believe this? That students are coming up with this? And I thought, well, you know what? Maybe these are seniors. Maybe she's talking about, no, she's middle school. She wants us to believe that middle school students just came up with this junk. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's being force-fed in our institutions. And these liberals think that by allying with Muslims, see, Muslims are the oppressed ones. They're actually the ones that we should feel bad about and empathize with, and we need to be allies with them. Well, in England, liberals are doing this pretty on a massively widespread scale. They're out there, this mass protest from these Islamicists on the streets, actually all over England. And they're marching through all these Islamists, and they're protesting racism. They're protesting really the public's outcry against all the crime that is being caused by this these Muslims who refuse to assimilate. And these liberal white protesters are out there with signs saying "Allow allow immigrants to come." Racism against immigrants is wrong and all this kind of stuff. And they're supporting these protesters who are walking through the streets yelling Allahu Akbar and all sorts of other things and acting like complete thugs. And so as these Muslim demonstrators walk past these white liberal allies, this exchange happens. He like pushes him and yells Allahu Akbar to this protester that is holding a sign that's like no racism against immigrants. And he's out there, these liberals are out there supporting, we're with you, we're against those racist conservatives and Tories and people who, you know, want safe streets and immigrants to assimilate. Well, those dirty races, we hate them and we support you guys. And that's the response he gets. There's no need for that, bro. We're allies. And the Muslim guy in this garb looks at him and goes, no, we're not. And yes, we are, bro. No. And he keeps walking. And it's confounding because they don't even realize, especially these, like, the communists tried this in Iran, if you remember. They were all about the Iranian Revolution. What happened to the communists after the Iranian Revolution? They were all lined up and shot by the Muslim extremists. Did you know that? All of these LGBTQ purple-haired people out there that holding the signs and free Palestine and every, you know, what would happen to them in a Muslim-controlled country? Do you know? They would be murdered. The fact that they don't get this is shocking. It's actually sad. And I would argue the main culprits, bad parenting, and a rogue education system. And until we really solve those two issues, the future is very yet to be determined. So when we come back, Charlie Kirk has some thoughts on how Islam should interact in the West, specifically in the U.S. and Britain. And I think Charlie Kirk's thoughts are more relevant than ever. So don't go anywhere. This is News Talk 98.9 WRD, Voice of the Carolinas. Adam Morgan in for Bill Frady. Welcome back. And where we left off was we got to listen to Zohran Mamdani's father's view of the country that he opted to emigrate to and who accepted him. And his thoughts were that America is actually the genesis, the original exporter of all colonialism, that we actually were the inspiration for the Nazis for genocide because of Abraham Lincoln and some kind of stupidity that he was throwing out there about that, and that actually Hitler saw the way that we did things, and that is how he knew how to craft his laws and come up with his policies. It was all from America. I mean, imagine saying that with a straight face, teaching this, pushing this, preaching this to others, and yet you chose to come to this country. This is the one you chose to, the supposedly the originator of genocide. It's just laughable. And yet this is the guy whose son is about to be the mayor of the largest, one of the most important cities in America, Zohran Mamdani. Now, Charlie Kirk had some thoughts about Islam and its compatibility with the West. I think it's hugely relevant. I mean, this has been the issue. I don't know if you saw over the weekend, it was trending a lot about how much Muslim immigration exploded post 9/11. Can you wrap your mind around that? That, like, it exploded exponentially. It's like we threw the doors open, and every year it got more and more. And suddenly, after we were attacked by terrorists, we threw the door open, and all these people came here, and now we're finding terror cells in the U.S. We're finding, there's one video where this person explained it. He's like, yeah, the first wave come, and they're nice. They're nice. They're normal. It's like, oh, well, this is totally fine. Then they move here. Then more move here. Then they create enclaves and communities such as Dearborn, Michigan. Then they bring in an imam. The imam comes in and says, we need to get a little more serious about this and get a little more fundamental. And that's generally where things really go south. And then you have people's, like some of Mamdani's close allies in New York, whose children, multiple of them, have been arrested for terrorism here in the United States. And yet there doesn't seem to be any problem with that association. Well, here's Charlie Kirk's thoughts on that. I think they're relevant today, and I think you will find them relevant as well.
The question is macro Islam compatible with Western values? Macro. Of course it's not. There are three major reasons why. Islam does not believe in freedom of speech. Islam does not believe in freedom of religion. And Islam does not believe in separation of mosque and state. Those three things are antithetical to the West. In a Muslim-majority country, most Muslim-majority countries, you cannot criticize the Prophet Muhammad. Mm. In most Muslim-majority countries, you do not have the same robust freedom of religion protections. And finally, whereas we in the West are very careful to try to intermix religion and state, they are commanded to actually go into the state and try to change the state to be more Islamic around the core pillars of Islam. And the last thing I'll finally say is I cannot see a single Western country that has become more Islamic and has become a better place to live that is happier or freer.
By what metric? Just happiness, quality?
Everything from quality of life, from cultural cohesion, from whether people want to live there, prior to the native-born fertility rates.
Again, people watching this will say, is your criticism of the religion itself or not Muslim people? Because there are British Muslims.
Fine, but you don't have to caveat it all the time. I know you guys have to because you're British and all that. A culture ceases to exist when you don't have unified language, when you cannot talk to your neighbor. I'm not discounting that there are good individual Muslims. The question that we need to reckon with the West is Mohammedism compatible with the teachings of Blackstone? Is it compatible with the legacy of Wilberforce?
All right.
And the great thinkers that have come from this country? And I will say, no, there's a reason why when you go to these Islamic countries that you're not going to see the equal protection of rights, that you do not believe in universal human equality, that you do not believe the same things that we believe in the West. And I think it's suicidal to import millions of them.
Yeah.
Charlie always hitting the nail on the head. I hate to say, I truly believe most people did not appreciate appreciate Charlie. He was ahead of his time. I think that people didn't realize the gift and ability that he had and the impact he had. I was a huge Charlie fan. He was a big supporter of conservative legislators, always has been, especially at the congressional level, recognizing that conservatives need to be on the offensive. He had a video I played last time when I was on for Terra, and he just the most eloquent speech an explanation of how the left is always on offense. They are always fighting and moving you're moving the ball down the field, whereas the right basically reflexively plays defense. I mean, we're conserving. We're conservatives. We just, oh, we'll just keep things the way they are. Well, when you've lost so much ground, when the pillars of your society are crumbling, you have to rebuild. You have to play offense. You have to actually take back ground that was ceded by people, Americans, who stupidly allowed their country to really start crumbling at the foundations. And by the way, countries where preaching Christianity is illegal, I wonder if you can guess where those would be. Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Iran, Pakistan, Somalia, Maldives, Yemen, Libya, Mauritania, Qatar, Brunei, Algeria. What do you notice about that list? They're all Muslim majority countries. And it's fascinating. If you look at all these Muslim immigrants that go all over the place to try to do these claims for asylum, they can choose anywhere to go. The majority are choosing non-Muslim countries. Why would that be? Why are they coming to the great Satan, America? Why are they going to Britain and France and Germany? Because it's a way of taking over. You infiltrate and you take over and you get people like Ilhan Omar and Zohran Mamdani to get positions of power to then bring in corrosive, toxic ideologies like communism that will destroy our system. I mean, it's intentional. The thing is, we all know it's intentional. And the question is, what can you do about it? Well, actually, it's very simple. We covered it in the first hour, at the very beginning of this hour. We already have the laws on the books. We're not supposed to be bringing people here who are a drain on the system. Federal law. And yet, what are we doing? These 40 million people that are about to lose SNAP benefits, who are they? The majority, the largest portion of them, are legal or illegal immigrants. The smallest portion is native-born Americans. And the majority of ethnicities, the largest portions that are taking them, Afghani, Somali. What are we doing? We're funding our own demise. We need to enforce federal law like the Trump administration is doing and actually beef it up even more. Let's make it even stronger. More deportations. Vet these people. Mamdani's father never should have been let into the United States. And therefore, Mamdani would not be in the United States. It's that simple. I don't know if you've seen the rallies in New York of what's going on. This mass of humanity out there in their burqas and doing their thing. Like, what's going on? Charlie phrased it perfectly. They fundamentally oppose freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And they are commanded to enforce those beliefs when they have power. Wake up, America. And by the way, if you're a Republican who is struggling to support the Trump administration on this immigration policy and on this shutdown, I'm going to cover one of them in just a second. A South Carolina, quote unquote, Republican who doesn't really know or care who's to blame for this whole shutdown. All he's got to do is complain about how awful it is that the benefits might be cut. A regular critic of Republicans, of conservatives, and of Trump right here in South Carolina, right here in the upstate from one of the most conservative counties. Do you know who it is? We'll cover it when we get back. Don't go anywhere. This is News Talk 98.9 WRD, Voice of the Carolinas.